All right, we are back. You're listening to Enemy Combatant Radio, and is broadcast over Pirate Cat 87.9 FM. And this is our weekly newscast. And on the line, we have Jesse Reynolds from the Center for Society and Genetics. Is that right, Jesse?
That's pretty close. Thanks, Christine. It's the Center for Genetics and Society.
Yes, that's right. Thank you.
Same words, opposite order.
So your group was dubbed Local Heroes by the Bay Guardian.
Yeah. That's in this year's Best of the Bay issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it came as something of a surprise and an honor, but we're happy nevertheless.
So can you tell us a little bit about the Center for Genetics and Society and why you were dubbed the local heroes for this year's Best of the Bay?
Well, the Center for Genetics and Society is a nonprofit advocacy organization based here in the Bay Area. And what we're concerned about is an emerging set of genetic technologies that when added together with certain reproductive technologies open the door to a future in the extreme form of human genetic engineering. And what we want to do is start a dialogue and implement policies that allow us to develop the best aspects of genetic and reproductive technologies, but not go down a road of human genetic engineering or reproductive cloning or designer babies and so forth. And so we got what led to the local heroes and getting involved with the San Francisco Bay Guardian goes to Proposition 71, which, to go back a few months, this was on the ballot last November here in California. It proposed to issue $3 billion, that's billion with a B, in bonds, state bonds, to fund stem cell research. And, well, we support stem cell research in a well-regulated context, but when we looked at the law, the proposed law, we were really concerned. It stacked the governing board with biotech executives and the leaders of institutions who would benefit directly from the money and didn't have representatives of the public interest. It had, you know, exceptions to open meetings laws and poor conflict of interest provisions. So in the end, we opposed Proposition 71, and we campaigned against it. And this was kind of a tough place to be. We're progressives and liberals and so forth here at the organization. And for the most part, liberals were lining up behind Proposition 71 as something of a slap in the face of the Bush administration. We talked to the Bay Guardian in November, and they ended up siding with us. They recommended to their voters to vote against 71, and they've done a couple of stories on the development since then. There was a cover story a few months ago called "Sell Out," I believe. And so I think that's what led to the recognition.
Okay. Also, the SF Weekly in this past week's issue, they have a pretty detailed article about Proposition 71, and it also established the CIRM, which is the California Institute for Regenerative Medicine, which is the body that will oversee and kind of allot the $3 billion in funds to different people who apply for grants for stem cell research, right?
Right, exactly, yeah. So Prop 71, it passed. It allocated the $3 billion in bonds. It'll be managed by a new agency called the California Institute for Regenerative Medicine, or the CIRM. And it has a governing board. It's called
29
the Independent
members.
Citizens Oversight Committee. We like to say the so-called Independent Citizens Oversight Committee because it's really neither independent nor citizens. It's entirely composed of representatives of institutions and constituencies that benefit by having stem cell research go forward at full speed with with no holds barred.
So do you have, like, who's from what industry and who's doing what within the CIRM?
For example, the best example of what we feel is wrong with the composition of the board is in the chair and the vice chair.
Uh-huh.
Chair is Edward Penhote, who they say is a philanthropist, and he has been a president of a foundation, but he spent most of his life in the biotech industry. And he has founded 3 biotechnology companies, and he still holds at least $1 million in stock in each of these companies, as well as numerous other biotechnology companies. And also, for example, he's a paid partner at a venture capital firm that invests heavily in the biotech industry. So he's really he would be the poster child of the ultimate biotech corporate insider, and he's the vice chair of the committee.
So he would stand to benefit immensely by these $3 billion in grants, right?
Well, you know, it's tough to put a finger on it directly and personally and say he would benefit directly. I mean, some of the companies that he's invested in have connections to stem cell research. Now, but which companies are going to benefit directly is tough to say. That's why very early on we said, look, the people who are deciding how $3 billion should be spent, I mean, that's a lot of money for a state that's, you know, closing essential public health services and cutting back on education. These people, they should be, you know, absolutely clean, and they should divest of all biotechnology investments.
Okay, so there's a clear conflict of interest then.
I would think so.
So I have a question for you. I know a little bit about your group and some of your concerns, and I'd like to delve into one of those concerns. So you mentioned that California does, you know, we've been cutting back on education, on public health care and private health care, and I'm wondering how we're going to benefit from allotting $3 billion, or if we even will benefit.
That's a tough question. What this really comes down to are the agreements about intellectual property, which is sort of saying, okay, if there's a discovery, if there's an invention, who owns it, who sells it, who profits? Proposition 71 itself is very vague about how the intellectual property and thus any profits will be divided up between the grant recipient, which can be a university, public or private, nonprofit research institution, or a biotechnology company who can receive the grants directly. How will that be divided up with the state? And just now the governing board is starting to realize, oh, my, we've got really the most tenuous issue, the most difficult issue right before it, and we have no idea. And it's turning into a very difficult and divisive one. Proposition 71 was advertised in, on the website and in television ads as saying, well, there'll be returns to the state. If anything is invented, that the state will get a good-sized cut of the profits, and that'll help recoup some of the costs. But it's unclear if that's going to be the case. The other way the people of California might benefit is through the therapies itself, of course. But we're concerned that the type of therapies that are likely to be developed from stem cell research are likely to be very expensive, possibly around $100,000 or more. And so what we're pushing for, and we've had allies in the state Senate, notably Senator Deborah Ortiz, who is a big supporter of Prop 71. In fact, we're saying that the poor people in California, perhaps those who qualify for Medi-Cal, should have access to any therapies that their tax dollars paid for at affordable prices.
All right. So basically, because of, let me see if I get this right, because of the lax wording in the body of Proposition 71, what could happen is that California could spend $3 billion in stem cell research and then have a university or a private corporation or an educator at a university do research and then patent that research, so that way they get the sole profits and the sole royalties of that findings. And California could essentially get nothing in return. And
right,
then they could turn around and charge an arm and a leg for the services that they've patented.
Yeah, that's exactly true. And unfortunately, what they're looking at as a model is that's what happens at the federal level. That's what the law says is going to be done. The federal law to govern this is called the Bayh-Dole Act, and it says, you know, the federal government, we don't want any profit. We are just trying to spur industry. And, well, you know, that's the law, and I don't agree with it, but that's fine. Prop 71 is different in that it was advertised to voters as saying, you know, the state will get its money back, and this is one of the ways that it will. So it's a different situation, and they cannot use this federal law as a model. They have to invent basically a whole new intellectual property law governing the funding of this research.
Also, what I find interesting in this article from SF Weekly is they're talking about the SF Weekly saying that there has been a number of Christian organizations, you know, who are anti-abortion groups, and they have filed lawsuits against Prop 71 on the basis that because it's getting state money, there is a state law that says it has to be regulated. And because Proposition 71 doesn't regulate, doesn't have a state body regulating where the money's going, it's tied up in court right now, which I think is kind of interesting. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah. I mean, during the campaign, the most vocal opponents of Proposition 71 were those who oppose all embryonic stem cell research, you know, based upon their view that the embryo constitutes a full human life. We disagree with that. Our organization supports a woman's right to choose and does not agree with them about the status of the embryo. So we don't cooperate with those organizations, although we have the same message. It's for very different reasons. After the election, once Prop 71 passed, their goal, the anti-abortionists, they wanted to shut the whole thing down. So they're trying to tie it up in court, and they file lawsuits, not based upon the embryo, but California's constitution says if you spend state money, you have to be accountable to elected state officials. And the California Institute for Regenerative Medicine acts kind of like this semi-autonomous agency. There's no real state oversight. It prohibits the legislators from getting involved. So
wow.
we have not supported that lawsuit, although we think it makes some good points. But you know, in the end, we don't want to cooperate with who filed it. And at this point in time, we're not trying to stop the whole operation.
So we're going to wrap it up, Jesse. Thanks so much for calling. What in like 2 minutes, 3 minutes? What would the Center for Genetics and Society like to see happen at this time?
Well, you know, there's a number of things. Most of the problems we had with Proposition 71 could be addressed by the governing board of the Institute taking firm action on issues like conflict of interest, to have real disclosure in divestment policy for both the governing board and for its advisory groups, to have strong open meetings policies, to have policies that will protect the health of the research subjects, policies that will help guarantee a return to the state for any discoveries, and that all people of California will be able to access these discoveries, and to adopt research standards that really draw a clear line between what research is acceptable and what type of research crosses certain ethical boundaries that we don't want to cross. They still have that opportunity, so we encourage people to keep up to date on their activities and to attend the meetings and contact the board and give them their input.
And where are the next meetings?
If I can, I'll give a plug to our website. May I?
Yes, please do.
So we're the Center for Genetics and Society, and you can find us on the internet at www.geneticsandsociety.org. And we compile some the relevant news about the Institute, and we also have an electronic newsletter that goes out about every other month, and that should help keep you updated.
When is the next ICOC, which is the Independent Citizens Oversight Committee, and they're the ones who are making the kind of the bylaws, when is their next meeting for public input?
Well, their next meeting of the full governing board is this Friday, and that's in San Diego. The meetings of the governing board move around the state.
When will it be in San Francisco?
However, the first meeting of the grants advisory group, this is the advisory group that will eventually say, fund this grant and not the other grant, is this Wednesday and Thursday in San Francisco. And they're having the first part of that meeting on Wednesday morning is in open session. It's at the Monaco Hotel in San Francisco. I don't have the address handy, but that's 8 to 11 a.m. Wednesday morning in San Francisco. You can get specific information on the Institute's website, which is www.crm.ca.gov.
All right. Thanks a lot for joining us, Jesse. Thanks for calling.
My pleasure, Christina. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was just Jesse Reynolds from the Center for Genetics and Society talking about Proposition 71 and the massive controversies surrounding that bill that passed last year. We're going to take a break. Here's Country Joe McDonald with Sexist Pig, and we'll be back with the week's calendar.
Thinks that here's another night. And that ain't the solution, sexist pig, sexist pig. 'Cause he's a man who thinks he can have any woman.